Please join me in the call to worship. What is it like to begin again? It is like flowers in the spring that push through frozen ground. It is like babies learning to walk, one clumsy step at a time. It is like Nicodemus in the night, asking Jesus for guidance. It is like a Sunday morning, starting our week anew. May we find God in our seeking. May we learn as we go. May we be brave enough to seek again. Let us worship the God of new beginnings. I invite you now to stand as you are able to sing hymn number 80, Jesus Walked This Lonesome Valley. May be seated. The prayer of confession offers us a new beginning. Laying our cards on the table, we speak honestly with God about who we are and who we long to be. And in response, God wraps us in grace and lets us begin again. So together, with God's grace, let us wipe the slate clean. Together, with God's grace, let us pray. God of new life, you call us into unknown places, and we bury our heads in the sand. You promise all the stars in the sky, and we doubt it can be true. You speak of new life in the Spirit, and we tell others we've missed our chance. Over and over and over again, you invite us closer to you. Show us the way. Forgive our mistakes. Give us the courage to begin again with you. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. Family of faith, hear and believe this good news. There is a grace to God's love that is bigger than we can imagine. No matter what we did or didn't do yesterday, we have been forgiven. Today, the slate is wiped clean. Today, we are made new. Friends, Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby.
Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro. My name is Renee Rico. I'm the transitional pastor here, and on behalf of the leadership of the church, we welcome you to our services today. As we gather, we invite you to fill out that little pew pad that is in your pew. If you're regular, just sign your name. If you're visiting, would like to have us know more information, fill that out, and we will get back in touch with you. We do have large print lyrics for our hymns and a few large print bulletins, and so you can ask an usher for that, along with our listening devices that help us hear in worship. Following worship, we will have our fellowship time through these doors. We invite you to come for something hot. Gosh, it got cold, didn't it, today? So please have a warm drink, a bite to eat, and some lively conversation in our fellowship hall. Today, as we worship, we have flowers here given by the family of Lavelle Wood, who probably is a familiar name to many of you. She was a longtime member and member of the choir, and so we are glad to remember her in our worship service today. After a coffee hour in the fireside room, we will continue our class on the years of ripening. And so we have some lively conversation as we talk about a variety of topics. Today is the cheerful topic of death. But I'm sure we will find deep meaning in our conversations together. On Tuesday, our Sherry Plunkett's Read This Book, or Listen to This Book class is continuing as they read Tom Keller's book, The Prodigal Prophet. Later in the week, we have a busy Saturday, next Saturday, so we will have our regular men's Bible study and women's fellowship breakfast. And then we have actually two memorial services that day. After being in hospice for several weeks, Tarlata Villas passed away peacefully at home with her family around her. And so at 10:30 a.m., most of your bulletins will have a little correction in it, but if you grabbed one early, it won't. The service will be here in the sanctuary at 10:30. If you wish, over at Santos Robinson, there will be a viewing from 9 to 10. Then the family is going down to Lone Tree Cemetery, where we'll be doing a burial service. And then they have a luncheon at 1:30 p.m. at First Baptist Church in Castro Valley. So if you need any more details or need to check back, feel free to do so. And then later in the afternoon, we will have the celebration of life for Bill Guile, here in the sanctuary, and then we will have a simple reception following here in the fellowship hall. Also on the pastoral front, we received word John Dufresne fell at home. He has a fracture in his hip, but they were able to put hardware in instead of replace it. So he has successfully gone through the surgery. He is now in rehab at Washington Center. And so, Sharon, we want to remember you as the kind of the care person too. And so we hope that he has a full recovery from this injury. Next Sunday will be our annual congregational meeting. We will have worship, and then we will gather in the fellowship hall. We have copies of the annual report available here today. So if you'd like to pick up a copy, please do. We're asking you to have one copy per family, just because it takes a lot to print those. And that way you can read about it, and if you have any questions or thoughts, then you can raise them next week at our meeting. We will be electing at-large members of the nominating committee at that meeting, so just putting that out there in case that is something you would be interested in. Other upcoming events, Heart to Heart will be meeting on March 12th. Young at Heart the following Thursday at March 19th. There are sign-ups for both of those in Fellowship Hall. I'm sorry?
We don't have sign-ups this week.
Oh, we don't have. Oh, never mind. We have sign-ups for a lot of other things, not that. Okay. There's an event called Cards of Kindness. You can read about it in your bulletin, and you can sign up for that. And just to save the date, on Palm Sunday, there are plans afoot to have a brunch potluck following worship. Okay, that was a lot of things. I would now invite Melissa Seaton to come forward to read our first scripture reading.
Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4a. It can be found on page 17 in your pew Bible. Let us hear the word of God. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Here ends our reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to our understanding.
Of the child.
Our second scripture today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Hear now the word of God. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with them." Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can somebody be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know. We testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Now, a lot of you know that I am a knitter. I knit. We have some knitters in our room. Knitters, wave your hand. Represent here. All right. Yeah. So I'm not alone in this. And I have knit for a very long time. I learned as a girl, and I've knit off and on, kind of continuously since then. So I like to think of myself as an experienced knitter, a knitter who knows how to do things. But one of the very funny things about being a knitter is that if you work on a new pattern, you do not know how to knit. I find myself frequently, when I'm starting a new project, I will not only cast on the stitches, get the stitches on the needle, not just the first time. No, then I'll rip it out. Then I have to do it the second time. Then I have to do it the third time. In some projects with 40 years of experience of knitting, I start over 4 times for projects. And I think other knitters probably can identify. But I've learned other things about knitting. And one of the things is that you can start over, right? If you make a mistake, you can take the stitches out. And so I'm going to have Miss Julie Larson here is going to help me illustrate. So you see I have this piece of knitting, little green, and you might see there's a little yellow line kind of through it. I'll explain that in a minute. But Julie, hang on to this and don't let go. All right, so if I want to rip things out, knitters, what do I need to do? Pull, right. So Julie's going to... Right? Uh-oh. Yeah. So we have to pull. And the cool thing is we can then, you know, ball that up, and then I can knit it again. Oh, Julie's going to do it. She's such a good person. I love it. I love it. You'll make friends with knitters. Okay, so hang on to that. So now I could rip this all the way out to the beginning and I would start completely over. But knitters, is that any fun? No, it's not fun at all. So what knitters have created is we have created something we call Lifeline. That's this yellow piece of, and what I've done is I've put the yarn through all the stitches, and so I can rip back to a place of my choosing here. So let's try this again. Here we go. Up. And now I have gone back to a place in the middle where I can start again. Isn't that cool? Yeah, thank you, Julie. And I think that has application to our lives, right? Have you ever had to start over? Oh, come on. Yes, you have. And we have to do that when life looks uncertain, right? We have to start over when we move somewhere new or we change jobs or, like me, as I face retirement. You know, we have to start over again when we no longer are in relationship with somebody who is important. And this week, we have two stories of people seeking that starting over. We look at the story of Abraham, who's receiving a new mission from God and at an advanced age, and of Nicodemus, who met Jesus in the dark night. And just as Jesus invited Nicodemus to learn a new way of life, we too are invited to learn new ways with God. And so, how do you begin again? Now take Abraham and Sarah. We just heard about Abraham in this short bit of text. Abraham is a bit of a trickster. In the following chapters, he will sell his wife Sarah as his sister, bargain his way into wealth. But the one thing he is that God appreciates, he is brave. When God tells him to go, he goes. Sarah too. And God promises them descendants as numerous as the stars, even when the two of them have not yet been able to bear a child together. And finally, almost in spite of their actions, Abraham and Sarah have a son. And the Hebrew people, as we know them, are now a family of God. When we look at that chapter, chapter 12, it's not just Abram, who begins again. It is God who is also beginning again. Because remember, at the end of Genesis 11, the previous chapter, we have the Tower of Babel built and the people of earth divide up, and they can no longer easily communicate with one another. That version of God's original plan seems to have died out, and so God begins with Abraham again. And this is not the only time in Scripture that God needs to begin again with the people in Scripture. God will begin again with the Hebrews while they are slaves in Egypt. A two-culture leader, Moses, will force the Egyptian Pharaoh to allow the Hebrews to leave. And then God begins again by allowing Saul to become a king over the people when it really isn't part of his plan. God begins again when the two kingdoms eventually fall because they fail to have just laws, and he sends prophets to tell the leaders about this change. He has to begin again when those kingdoms fall and the people are carried away to Babylon, and they stay there for two generations, and then they are sent back to begin again by restoring Jerusalem in the temple. And of course, our biggest begin again occurs in Scripture with the incarnation of Christ, in the birth and life of Jesus of Nazareth. In this beginning, we are the co-participants in the beginning again, as we see in this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. Now, today's gospel text is part of a conversation between the Pharisee Nicodemus and Jesus that took place at night. And I think it's worth looking and imagining what that encounter must have been like that gave birth to some of our most beloved words in Scripture. You know, one can imagine Nicodemus telling his family he'd be back in a little while. Maybe someone asked him, are you sure you want to go out this late? Maybe he gave a vague answer, I have to check on some things. That at least was true. I doubt he went into details about his private meeting with his man Jesus, who had caused such an uproar in the temple that week, who had turned the tables over, released all the animals, sent coins bouncing down the stairs. As a leader and scholar in that temple, Nicodemus must have been playing cleanup aisle on Jesus all week. And his friends probably had some choice names for Jesus besides Lord or Messiah. But it seems that something had come undone in Nicodemus that week as well, seeing all of those coins and animals run free. Something very deep. And if there's one thing we know about freedom, it's that it is contagious. Something in the dark recesses of Nicodemus' spirit need to venture out into those dark streets. And after so much time around confident certainties of his temple friends, he sought out Jesus by night in a place where they could talk honestly. It's like the folks who gather in AA in the basement of the church on Sunday nights because the bright light of a stained glass Sunday morning is too much for the tender truth they need to tell. Biblical scholars, kind of tongue-in-cheek, they call this Nick at Night. And it contains the echoes from that first chapter of John's Gospel, which also talk about beginnings and God's light and life coming into the world in Jesus and how the world simply could not comprehend it. But in the middle of this conversation, Jesus says it plain. God has only one plan, and that plan is relentless, self-giving, world-saving love. Perhaps Nicodemus was a bit scared about the kind of love Jesus described. This is the love that makes the first move, a love that doesn't flinch at death, a love that lays claim to all of eternity. It's so much wilder than the transactional system that he's known, the one that he based his life on. And I suspect Nicodemus had been raised to expect a more controllable God, a God who would be pleased by nice donated doves and sacred cows, a God who wanted the people to say the right words at the temple and not ask too many questions. Nicodemus knew a God who was mighty and could and would judge. But in Jesus, he encountered God as free as the wind, God able to bring about birth and rebirth, God who does not traffic in condemnation and perishing like people do, a God who loved the world, a God with just one plan, to love us into eternal life through his Son. And this reminds me of a quote by Episcopalian priest and author Barbara Brown Taylor. She said, "New life starts in the dark. Whether it is a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb, it starts in the dark." Or beloved naturalist and poet Wendell Berry, who wrote, "Love is what carries you, for it is always there, even in the dark, or most in the dark, but shining out like times, like gold stitches in a piece of embroidery." As we are in this Lenten season, I don't know what is keeping you up at night this year as Lent moves along. Maybe there are some tensions in relationships that you are trying to heal, or there's an uncertain result in a medical test that requires more evaluation. Maybe there's a disease with your current situation that requires more review. Maybe you are holding grief this season. Maybe a question is on your mind and you don't have perfect theological words for what you're even asking, and you came here today, like Nicodemus, willing to take a risk and sincerely longing for rebirth, hoping that what you've heard is true, following some kind of unused instinct, like the call of the wild on domesticated animals. And if, as far as you get this Lent, is stepping outside at night and letting the arm on your arm stand on end before a God whose wind blows where it will and whose wild love sets us free, that's a good start. And so as you think through these two narratives, being born again and being promised an expansive future, ask yourself, do I believe in the possibility of new beginnings? And when the opportunities are revealed before you, ask, will I be willing to step into the promise of what may be? And maybe you would be asking yourself, what am I willing to say yes to? Or, to go back to the knitting, do I need to go all the way back? Do I need to rip it all out? Or do I have a lifeline to count on? All of these are part of the seeker's journey. And by doing so, you too are on the journey to begin again, to cast on back into life as its fullest. I'd like to close with a poem by a Catholic brother, John O'Donohue, called For a New Beginning. In an out-of-the-way place of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered, heard waves of turmoil rise and relent, wondered how you always live like this. And then the delight, when your courage kindled and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before you. Though your determination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning. That is at one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be at home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. Amen. So, friends, as a response to the sermon today, I invite you to stand as you are able, and on the purple insert on one side, you will find the Apostles' Creed. Let us say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
All that we have comes from God, even the gift of life itself. The offering of our gifts back to God is one way we live out our faith. As unique, individual children of God, each of us gives in our own way, through our time, our talent, our treasure, as we can afford. There is no one right way to respond to God's grace in our lives. Our financial offerings happen in a variety of ways, too. They may be placed in the box in the narthex, mailed to the church, electronically transferred, or given using the QR code found in the pew pocket in front of you. Whether it is $1 or much more, each offering is faith in action. Let us now ask God's blessing on the gifts that we are returning to Him. Holy God, You are the giver of all good things, and Your word makes clear that every good and perfect gift comes from You. We ask that You accept these gifts and use them to Your glory. May these gifts bring shelter to the homeless, comfort to the sick, rest to the weary, and hope to the hopeless. Just as You multiplied the offering of fish and loaves that were freely given for others, we pray that You would multiply these, our offerings to You, and accomplish with them more than we could ask or imagine. We give freely in response to Your grace given through Jesus Christ. All we have is Yours, and we ask that You would use us and all we have as You will. We pray these things in the name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able to sing hymn 513, Let Us Break Bread Together, on our knees.
You may be seated. Friends, we know what it feels like to look for God. We know what it feels like to turn our heads up to the sky looking for stars or signs. We know what it feels like to walk day after day hoping we grow closer to God. We know what it feels like to seek, and I think that's part of the reason we end up here. Because we are hoping that in the midst of this messy world, we might catch a glimpse of God that will carry us through. And so, friends, I have good news. God is already here. Like a mighty wind, God is moving through this room. God is at this table inviting us to gather. So God has always gathered with God's people. So come to this table with your questions and your doubts. Come with your joys and your gratitude. Come seeking. Come hungry. Come curious. Come open, and come not because you have to, but because you want to. Come with all of you, for there's room for all of us here. This is God's table. This is God's meal. We are guests. So come. Let us pray. God of today, tomorrow, and yesterday, like Nicodemus, we are seeking you. Like Abraham and Sarah, we are bringing ourselves closer to you, step by step and word by word. So today we ask that you would make yourself known to us. Reach into our spirits and give us a boost of confidence that love is real and we are not alone. And so we know we're asking for a lot for a groom that brings not so much. We don't have a huge dream we're ready to execute. We're no Abraham and Sarah, but we are yours, your beloved. And so we bring ourselves to this table, to your table, in hopes of catching a glimpse of you. Speak to us in this bread and cup. Feed us the love you have for the world so we can share it out. Holy God, you were the God of yesterday, and we know you'll be the God of tomorrow, for you have loved us each time you have begun again with us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon our many tables, trusting that Christ is the host of our sacred meal together. May the blessing of grain from the earth and the fruit of the vine be a reminder of the true joy of communion that unites us in one worldwide covenant of love. Sustained by your word, fed by this holy meal, may we go out with joy and be led forth with peace through Jesus Christ, our peace. Amen. It was on the night of his arrest when he was gathered in an upper room that Jesus took the bread, and after he had blessed it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." And in a similar way, after supper, he took the cup and he poured it out. And he said, "This cup is my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink for this cup, you show signs of God's kingdom in our midst." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite our servers to come forward.
Thank you.
Christ's body broken for us. Let us pray. God of open horizons and wind-blown spirit, like Abraham and Sarah so many years ago, we are here seeking you. So as we continue and seek and ask questions during this Lenten season, we pray that just as you have spoken to seekers like Nicodemus, you would speak to us again. It is part of our faith to have our eyes drawn down, God, to the suffering of victims and the pain of perpetrators, to the wounds we inflict on others and the wounds we inflict on ourselves. We need to see these things and pray. Today we are particularly mindful of the hostilities in our world. Ukraine, Gaza, Israel, and Iran, to name a few. You have called us to be peacemakers in our world. And so today we fervently pray for peace without reservation. But we also need our eyes to be lifted, God, to the signs of your life among us, to the touch of your healing on our souls, to the cross that casts its liberating shadow across all human affairs. We need our eyes to be lifted, God, so our eyes may be filled with faith and hope and love. And finally, we pray that we are called to pray the prayer that you taught us. So I invite you all to stand as you are able as we sing together the Lord's Prayer. invite you to remain standing and turn to your purple insert for our concluding hymn, Since the Lord is My Salvation. So, friends, I invite you to go in the name of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.